Good morning and welcome back to another edition of High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, right here on Talk 960, brought to you by Providence St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our High Desert. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the High Desert, Providence St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us every weekend, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's get to it.
Well, good morning. It is another wonderful weekend here in the High Desert. Want to thank you guys for joining us once again for some very interesting interviews that we're going to have today.
It has been great. And if you're just tuning in, we are High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m.
Yes. And I am really excited today to have this guest here. I've known him for quite some time. And I think he'll be a familiar name to our listeners. We have in studio with us today Ryan McCachran, who is a local businessman, former mayor of Victorville, and now currently serving on the San Bernardino County School Board as a trustee for Area A. Did I get that right, Ryan?
You did.
All right.
That's perfect.
Well, welcome to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. And so we want to just talk about all things school today, that how it affects particularly our area, and what's going on, what you can share with us, things that are possibly important, especially to those parents out there. And hopefully we got some students, Roxanne, that are listening.
Yeah, for sure, because we've got high school graduations coming up. So a big shout out to the class of 2024. Right, Ryan?
Yes, that's awesome. We're coming up on graduations all through the month of May and June. So lots of graduates out there in the High Desert. Yes, congratulations to them. I know they put in a tremendous amount of time. I know this intimately because my daughter's graduating this year. So
congratulations.
So, yeah, she's attending Excelsior, and she'll be graduating on June 3rd. So really excited about that. But, yeah, this is the time of year where I think parents and students, and they're all just winding down, can't wait for the end of the school year to happen. So.
Yes. Well, Ryan, tell us, how long have you been on the school board?
Well, I was just elected 2 years ago, so I've only been on since December of 22.
Okay.
Last year, getting my feet wet, learning a lot about the position, and now going into my full second year being on the County Board of Education. And a lot of what we do at the County Board is not so much the same as what you'd find at a local school board, right?
Mm-hmm.
So our job is to be responsible for the entire county budget. We oversee about $450 million is the budget we're looking at for the next fiscal year, 24-25.
Wow.
And a lot of the students we serve are those that have special needs, special education students. We work with a lot of the school districts in the High Desert to provide that special education to those students at various sites throughout the High Desert. And so we oversee that. We work with the county superintendent of schools to provide that education mm-hmm. to those students. And it's just a tremendous thing that goes on that probably a lot of people don't know about, not only in the High Desert, but throughout the entire county, that there is that need there. And that's what the county school board is tasked with doing and providing.
That was going to be my next question, is what was the primary function of the school board? But now, how many districts make up San Bernardino County Schools?
We have approximately 33 districts. We oversee at the county level. We authorize, I believe it's now 7 charter schools throughout the county.
Wow.
So charter schools can be authorized by a local school district, or they can be authorized at the county level. So we oversee 7 approximately now. The most familiar one that you might know of up here is Excelsior. But we have several others that we authorize up here and work with. And so there's a lot of that that overseeing that we do for charter schools, as well as just, responsibility of our own schools that we provide services to students for throughout the county. And it's not just up here in the high desert. It's down in the West Valley, east end of our county. So, you know, it is the largest county in the contiguous United States. And so it's a large amount of area that we cover, you know, in the entire county.
And outside of the budget, which sounds like it's your primary, one of the primary responsibilities or role of the being a trustee, what are some of the other primary or top issues that you guys address?
Yeah, so we, as I was just talking about charter schools, so we get a lot of charter schools that come to us either because they were denied by a local district and they're appealing to us, so we serve as the appellant to that, and they can appeal basically to the County Board of Education, and if they're successful in that, then in essence they become authorized by the County Board of Education. So, or there are charter schools that just come directly to us. They say, you know, look, we're serving foster kids, homeless kids, and you know, they move. You know, they're mobile. So they may be here one week and over here the next. And trying to move them around doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So having a charter school that serves that population makes a lot of sense because they're never in the same place at all times. So we do that. We also serve as the appellant board for expulsions. So if your child were to be expelled, and God forbid that actually happens, but it does occur from time to time. And as a parent, you want to appeal that decision of a local school board, you would come to the County Board of Education. So those are some of the functions that we serve in. Although I have not seen it since I've been elected, we also can serve in the appellant role. And when someone is appealing an interdistrict transfer, let's say that was denied by a local school district and the parents wanted to appeal that, they would come to us. And then, of course, beyond the county budget, we also oversee the county superintendent and what ultimately he's paid. So those are kind of some of the main roles that we serve. But I also like to say that I serve in an advocacy role for education for the entire county. So although we have our functions that we serve at the school board level, we're also that representative out there in the community to really be the voice of education in our area, to help promote education, to help foster collaboration amongst school districts and the county. And so, you know, it's really important that each member of the Board of Education have a good working relationship with the County Superintendent of Schools, Ted Alejandre, and helping to provide our districts with the support that they need to provide the education to the students in our area.
Right. With that, you mentioned homeless student population and also foster kids, right? And have you seen or is there a noticeable uptick in the number of foster students that are in our systems or homelessness? Is there an uptick amongst that student population?
Yes, unfortunately, it has increased over the years, and there's all kinds of factors that go into that. A lot of people like to point to COVID and say COVID caused it.
Right.
Well, it was there before COVID. COVID probably created some situations where it helped increase it, unfortunately, or caused it to increase would be a better word. And so, you know, we're constantly looking for ways that we can make sure that we're providing the education and services that are needed to those students. Because in reality, you know, foster kids can move from one foster home to another. Sometimes students that are homeless are moving from one couch to another.
Yeah.
So when we say they're homeless, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're out on the street sleeping in a tent.
Right.
Typically we see when we're driving around and we see someone that's homeless out on the streets, usually students are moving from one place to another and it's not their home. So, we're trying to figure out ways that we can also make sure that they're provided with the education that they deserve.
That's a good point about the homeless students. I think homeless students, as they're defined by the school, is that they don't have a permanent address. Do I have that right?
Correct.
So to your point, they're not necessarily out in the streets, but they just don't have a permanent address. And I know at one time, I believe she's retired, there was a wonderful woman who did amazing work for the county school, Brenda Dowdy.
Oh, yes.
That really worked with our homeless students and their families, right? Has that position been filled, or do we have somebody who's now stepped into that? Do you know?
I know they are actively looking to fill that position. I do not know if it's been filled yet, but
okay.
Those are big shoes to fill. She did a tremendous job for our students in our county that are find themselves in those positions. And so, you know, obviously that is a very important role, and filling that position is going to be key to making sure that the work that she did such a great job at doing and providing in our county is continued going forward.
Yeah. So let me ask you, I have a question that I've really been curious about. Loss of learning, especially due to COVID. Is that something that you guys, from a board perspective, talk about, address? And if so, what does that look like if you're talking about it and addressing it? Because I know that I've been told, and I don't know, I don't have any statistics to support this, but I've been told that a lot of our students did not return back to school after COVID.
I've heard that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, and then there was such a loss of learning because of COVID, and where has that left us? So are those issues that come before the board or that you guys discuss at all?
They are, and I think any school board that hasn't been having those discussions, obviously, I don't know where they're at or what they're thinking, because it's affected every student, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're finding is that there was a loss of learning during that period of time. And so for a lot of those students, we're playing catch up. And we are moving in the right direction. We're seeing progress with, you know, the math and the English and literacy and things like that. But it, in essence, put us behind several years with a lot of these students. And so it is something that we're constantly discussing. I know districts throughout the county are discussing on ways they can help and you know, try to bring them back up to where they should be. But I think it's going to be a struggle for a little while. And some of those students, you know, may not be graduating with the skill set that they would have
mm-hmm.
otherwise, right, mm-hmm. had COVID not been there. But it is something that, you know, obviously none of us expected. None of us could have predicted that we were going to have to be dealing with that. So finding ways to, you know, be innovative, help students learn and help them catch up is going to be key for several years. This
mm-hmm.
is not something that, you know, obviously we got this graduating class. They came into high school, right, when
right.
COVID hit.
Right.
So they started high school when they
right.
they weren't even in the classroom.
Right.
And so
yeah.
it's unfortunately the situation that they were dealt. But you know, they're graduating and they're going to be, a lot of them are going to be going on to college. And I think, you know, time will tell ultimately how bad COVID affected education.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing we do know, it did.
It did. Yeah. And I say that in terms of just overall, we don't know the impact of COVID on us as a society. And I don't think we'll know that for several years. But I know where education is concerned that the impact has been very dramatic, you know. So we can only continue to do the best that we can do, find these kids where they are, meet them where they are, try to provide the best in the way of education for them. And it sounds like that's top of mind for you guys, and that's something that you're trying to do. Well, as we get ready to wrap up, if by chance there's groups out there or within our listenership, some of the community leaders that represent organizations that would like to have you possibly come and speak to them. I know you do that type of thing with Rotary and, you know, and if they would like to have you come and provide an update or a kind of insight on what the San Bernardino County School Board does, how would they reach out? Who would they contact?
Well, they could reach out to me directly. You know, we have our website, which is San Bernardino County Board of Education, or sbcboe.org is the easiest way to find it. And then when you go there, you'll see my name along with the other four board members. You click on there and you can email me and contact me through that link. But I'm more than happy to come out to any organization, talk about education. You know, education is near and dear to my heart, only because, you know, I not only do I have both my daughter and son in high school right now, and I'm, you know, constantly on them to make sure that they're doing what they need to do.
Yes.
But my wife is a principal in Victor Elementary School District at Ralph Baker 21st
yes.
Century Learning Center. Her daughter is a teacher at West Palms, my mother-in-law was a principal at Sixth Street.
Yes.
So it's just all around us, right? That the education is there, and so it's. You know, I'm getting it from all different perspectives, and I love to get out there and talk education. That's
yes.
very important.
Well, we want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us, kind of providing an update for us. I also want to thank you for all of your community service over all of these years. I've known you for quite some time. I won't say how long because I don't want to date you or me.
Yeah, that's right.
But I will say thank you for your service to the community. I know that it is something that has really been heartfelt. I know that there are a number of things in our community that your imprint is on, and a lot of things that you don't necessarily get credit for. But I want to thank you for having the heart to serve and for finding your way to serving in such a significant way as through education. So thank you for what you do. Feel free to come back anytime and share with us any information that you think community would be interested in hearing. And a shout out to your wife. I know she's doing a wonderful job over at Ralph Baker School. It's a great school, great facility. And so we're just grateful when we have people who are passionate and compassionate about the work they're doing with our students because it's so necessary. And congratulations to your daughter on graduating.
Well,
yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
And thank you for having me. I've enjoyed this, and I will be glad to come back at any time.
We're going to hold you too.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, High Desert. Roxanne, it is another beautiful weekend here in the High Desert.
It is. We love having you. So thank you so much for tuning in. And High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, has been brought to you by Providence St. Mary Medical Center.
Yes. And so we have a guest. This is our first returning guest, right?
I know. Dolores, you are so
yes.
popular.
Yes. So we've got in studio with us Dolores Williams, who is the executive director, founder of Millionaire Mind Kids. Welcome. Thank you for joining us again. You've got some exciting stuff to talk to us about for our kiddos here in the High Desert. So we're just going to jump right in, Dolores. Summer is approaching. Mm-hmm. School is about to let out. And so I know that people are looking for opportunities of what the kids can be involved in, something that's constructive and helps them to kind of have something to do right through the summer. And so you've got summer camp coming up. So talk to us about summer camp.
So, yay, I'm so excited. Summer camp is right around the corner. Our first academy is the Law and Justice Academy, which starts on June the 7th. We are almost filled. I think we have about 10 spaces left for that academy. But we just have an array of academies. We have the Law and Justice. We have the Aviation Academy that's coming up. We're even doing the Scholarship Academy and the Financial Literacy Academies this year. So we're fun-packed. We're also looking to bring in a new academy sponsored by St. Mary's, which is our Community Health Academy.
Mm.
So we are really, really excited. The best way to contact us is through our email. We're emailing all the applications out and on our website. So our email address is millionairemindkids@verizon.net. That's the best way. And our website is millionairemindkids.org.
Great. And so, Dolores, the summer camps, they sound wonderful. So can you tell me a little bit about the community health camp that's being sponsored by St. Mary's?
I know you mentioned that a few weeks ago, Dolores, too, where it's a pretty exciting camp.
Well, it is pretty exciting. And so what we are trying to do is expose students about the various health careers. We specialize in providing that exposure to our students to career pathways that they may not know exist. And so this is an exciting camp because we actually want to not only expose them to career pathways, but we also want to expose them to ways to look within their own homes and their own community and look at health deterrents and things that they can do, like simple things that they may be able to do, provide for their family, services like taking a blood pressure. You know, that's high blood pressure is really prevalent in our communities these days. So, you know, even just small aids that they can provide to families and looking at nutrition and good diets and healthy living, we're just really excited to offer that.
And so, Dolores, you also mentioned the aviation, which is one of your most popular camps. And now that's for a specific age group or age range. Do I have that right?
You have that right. So aviation ranges from ages 13 through 18. It's a 10-day exciting, exciting program led by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Marshall. And the first 5 days, he exposes our students to the science of aviation, the science of flight. But the second portion of the camp exposes our kids to field trips.
Yeah.
And Dolores, answer an important question for our listeners. How much are all these summer camps?
Free, free, free.
So there you go.
We are excited. We
the
feed your kids.
Price is right.
The price is right.
Yes.
So the only thing is, you got to get your applications in as quickly as possible because they do fill up.
Right.
Yes.
And so with that, Roxanne, I'm going to piggyback on that. Not only is it free, but they also get at least two meals a day.
Oh, yeah, they're
and
breakfast
snacks,
and lunch, right?
So there's breakfast and lunch and then snacks. So your kids are well taken care of. Now, one of the things is that they can go to the website, as you mentioned, or email you.
Yes.
And to fill out the registration form.
Absolutely.
But then you've got something coming up.
Yes.
For a community where they can register right on site, right? And I think that's happening on May 25th. You want to tell us about that?
On May 25th, we're having an exciting celebrate our community, giving some love back to our community in coordination with our career technical education fair with VVC. So our sponsors are VVC, Victor Valley College, Victorville Motors, Dreamers, Visionaries, and Leaders, and CARS. And so it's a huge fair. It's a family event, free food, exposure to career technical education opportunities. We've always targeted sending students to four-year universities, but not everybody wants to go to a four-year university. So now we're really exposing our community to those two-year certified technical industries where our students can learn a skill, get certified, and still make that mortgage-paying salaries. So
great.
We're bringing in all these technical resources and choices that gives our students an opportunity to just get that exposure. It is open to the public. It is at the Millionaire Mind Kids Center at 15579 8th Street, Victorville, California. It's the big Victor Elementary School District. It was previously their DO building, and they have donated that building to Millionaire Mind Kids for $1 a year.
Wow.
So we are really taking advantage, and this building belongs to our community.
It's
our services belong to our community. So community, come on out, show out. We'll have music, we'll have food, and we'll have all kinds of activities, and we're just going to have a great time. And we're just going to have a little party.
And Dolores, this is going to be a great place for the families here in the High Desert. Like we mentioned, school is almost out. They can find out more about your summer camps and maybe sign up for them as well, too, there, right?
Absolutely. So one of the things is Millionaire Mind Kids will have a table at our own event. So we'll be signing up kids from all across the High Desert. All kids are welcome, ages 7 through 18. We'll be signing them up right on the spot at the event. So come on out and see us and sign up your kids and give them a fun activity to do, a fun summer camp. We are keeping them engaged and preventing that academic loss over the summer.
And what are the hours for that event?
The hours for that event is from 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m.
Before we go, you did mention the Scholarship Academy.
Yes.
Let's talk about that, because I think that's really important, especially for those who are going to be seniors come the fall.
So the Scholarship Academy is a 5 to 10 day academy boot camp. And what we do is we actually teach young people how to write scholarships, but we also help them prepare for the college preparation. So we make sure that they have their A through G requirements and they're college ready, and we work with them and we work with parents. We've been known and really famous in the High Desert for sending students to four-year universities as debt-free as possible. So the early we get the kids in, eighth grade is preferable, 8th through 12th grade. It is really, really important that they start to build that strategy and understanding the research that's required to go to college and select those college career majors that are in demand. So the Scholarship Academy this year is rocking, and we're going to have it. We're going to have it in person at the center. And it's one of our last academies, so it will be around the July-August timeframe, and that's when scholarships open. So what we do is we teach students how to write real live scholarships.
Yes.
So they're not mock scholarships. They'll be selecting 10 national scholarships to write, and our local scholarships also. And in partnership with DVL, they'll be writing the DVL scholarship as well.
Right. And so that's why I think it's important for students especially and their parents to know that this scholarship academy is taking place, especially if they're 12th grade, going into 12th grade in the fall, because it's a great opportunity for them to start preparing, planning, developing, writing those scholarships that are effective, because to your point, they typically do get funded.
Absolutely.
Right? So thank you. Well, Dolores, is there anything else you want to share with us to prepare us for May 25th?
Just come on out. Be prepared to have a great time. Big shout out to Y102 for having us on today. And thank you so much for all of our sponsors and the community that has always entrusted us with their children. Thank you, community. We love you, and we love serving you.
And we definitely are made better because Millionaire Mind Kids exist in our community. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being with us again.
Thanks,
today.
Dolores.
Yeah, and being our first time returning guest.
Yeah.
Yay.
And it's always a pleasure.
Yes, we're excited, and we will post info on our community calendars.
Thank you.
Thanks again for being a part of our conversation. You can reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, has been brought to you by Provident St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our High Desert. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the High Desert, Provident St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We'll talk to you next weekend.